acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 62, A Different Kind of Gift Knitting. Thursday, December 4th, 2014. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Yin Hu Chaiyuan, Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode can be found on my website, yarns@yinhu.com. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page and is available on iTunes. Today's episode includes the following segments: Chin Wagon, The Back Porch, The Front Porch, Ever Expanding Skill Set, and Gratitude Journal. Today, I'd like to welcome two listeners who have introduced themselves in messages and on the Ravelry board. Parajati is Christina from Georgia, who listens to audio podcasts on her commute. And Crochester is Sally from Idaho. So welcome to you both. And thanks to Inner Space Explorer for a very nice iTunes review. The Yarns at Yin Hu group on Ravelry currently has 316 members. I invite you to join the group and take part in the discussion that's going on there. And sometimes there's an opportunity to win prizes. I'd like to announce the winner of a shawl pattern. My pattern, Another Door Opens. There was a contest thread open for a while, and the winner is post number 27, who is Kate Pricey. Kate is from Melbourne, Australia, and what she said about what she's looking forward to in the coming season has to do with warm weather and beach time, which is a refreshing thing to think about with all this cold and snowy weather we've been having. I'd also like to congratulate Cayenne, who is Windy Brook Spins on Ravelry, who knit her Another Door Opens from yarn scraps that she had. It is an absolutely beautiful shawl, so congratulations on that, Cayenne. And thanks for your interest in knitting the pattern. Today is 1 week since Thanksgiving, and I have just about finished all of the Thanksgiving leftovers that were in my fridge. The only thing that's really hanging around still a little bit in the fridge and most of it in the freezer is some turkey stock that I made after roasting my Thanksgiving turkey. Actually, I grill my Thanksgiving turkey on my Big Green Egg charcoal grill because the kitchen at Yin Hu is very tiny. It is awaiting renovation, and I've been reluctant to replace appliances until they absolutely break down. That is nearly the case with my oven stove combo, but it's still limping along, so I haven't replaced it. It is, however, very small. It's a 24-inch stove oven, which means that if you put a turkey in there, you can't open the door. All the heat comes out, and the turkey takes forever to cook. And you can't bake anything else in the oven if you have a turkey in there. Since we have purchased the Big Green Egg, this has been maybe 4 or 5 years now, I have been roasting my turkey on the charcoal grill, which is a super fantastic experience because the grill and the smokiness of the charcoal gives the turkey so much flavor that I don't do anything else. I don't brine it. I don't season it. There's no rub. There's not even a sprinkle of salt goes onto this turkey before I grill it. The only thing I do is that I usually try to put a really nice pumpkin ale or some kind of apple cider into this ceramic vessel on which I sit the turkey before, well, as it grills. It's kind of the idea of a beer can chicken where you put the chicken on top of some kind of vessel to both hold it upright and you have some liquid in there that steams and kind of keeps the inside of the bird moist as it cooks. So in the past, I have done either some pumpkin ale or some apple cider, even sparkling apple cider, just to give it a little something extra. I don't know if that really makes a difference or not, but the turkey cooks very quickly. It comes off the bone. I mean, I don't even need a knife to carve the turkey, basically. I can just pull it apart with my hands and arrange the platter. It's wonderfully moist all the way through. The breast does not dry out, and it makes a beautiful, beautiful, smoky turkey stock after Thanksgiving. So this is tried and true method, in my opinion, and something that I really enjoy doing. The only drawback that occurs when you don't roast a turkey in a pan in the oven is you don't get turkey gravy. And so it's been my practice the past couple of years to roast a chicken sometime the week before and actually make chicken gravy. And then sometimes I enrich that with the turkey giblets that come with the turkey I buy and sort of enrich it a little bit while the turkey is grilling. So that's a little bit about my Thanksgiving. I was also very busy with a gigantic fresh pumpkin that I was given as a gift, and this made its way into pumpkin soup, several pumpkin pies, pumpkin gnocchi, the recipe for which I have put on my blog. And I'm trying to think, what else did I do with pumpkin? I haven't made pumpkin bread yet, but there's a little bit of pumpkin still remaining. So we'll see what happens with that. I was very pleased with the cornbread and chorizo stuffing recipe from the On Sugar Mountain blog by Jess Gonzalez. It was absolutely delicious. Another thing that made my Thanksgiving very special this year was a snowstorm that came into town on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving and resulted in not our usual early dismissal on the day before Thanksgiving, but an entire day off. Since I have begun working in education, I've never been able to devote an entire day to Thanksgiving preparations. I've always had to think about how I could do a little bit Sunday, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday when I got home from work, and then, you know, going full force on Thursday morning. So it was really a treat to be able to wake up on Wednesday morning and have power because we had lost it for quite a few hours on Tuesday night. And I was worried, but we had power and I could just start my Thanksgiving preparations and have everything done and have an afternoon and evening to relax before guests arrived on Thursday. All week last week, inspired by Joanna Spring of the Knit Spin Farm podcast, I elected to take a digital detox. And this meant that I did engage in looking at screens and using the internet as far as it was required for my job. But I checked out of social media, no Instagram, no Facebook, no browsing on Ravelry. And we don't have television, so there's never any television watching at my house. But I just tried to eliminate screens from my life for a couple of days. I did a great deal more reading. I listened to music. Samuel and I have a tradition of stopping everything and listening to a local radio broadcast of Alice's Restaurant at noon on Thanksgiving Day. So that's always special. And it was just a nice time to be contemplative and reflective and very quiet. I really appreciated that. And I think it will be my practice this coming year to take maybe more frequent digital detox and maybe for a lesser amount of time. It's not always practical given the things that need to be done using the internet to take that much time away from a screen. But I think even 24 hours once a month or maybe a few times a month just helps me to recalibrate and just remember what's very important and to reconnect with nature and just with silence. It felt really good. So thank you, Joanna, for mentioning that on your podcast and for being such an inspiration and thinking about what's important in life and what we really need and what we don't. The back porch. Given that I wasn't distracted by social media, I did get a lot done over the long weekend of Thanksgiving. I completed my Christmas knitting. I have started Christmas knitting in June, July, August, the past several years. So it's typically my goal to finish everything up around Thanksgiving time, but that doesn't always happen. This year, I am pleased to say that all of the things I set out to knit for Christmas are completed. That includes the hat I knit for Samuel. It's done. I used the line beanie pattern by Heather Kinney. I used cashmere from St. Mary's on the Hill, cashmere goats. And I used some alpaca from a project I made for Samuel last year. This entire hat project came about because I destroyed the warp for a scarf that I was going to weave for Samuel. And even though I was more excited about making the scarf, I feel a lot more confident that Samuel will like the hat. The colors are more subdued for one thing, and I think he will be pretty pleased with the cashmere and the warmth of the hat. So I'm glad to have that project complete. I also completed knitting, I think nearly 20 pint-sized pines. It's been my practice the past couple of years to knit or crochet a little ornament in lieu of a Christmas card for some close friends and family. And I send those off. So this year I chose the pint-sized pines pattern. And this is a great little set of cabled trees. There are two different designs. They knit up very quickly with a small amount of yarn. I used scrap yarn. I also used some hand spun scraps. And you fit this little knitted tree on top of a wine cork. So it looks like it has, the tree has a base and it stands up. The knitted part also cinches around the cork so that you could hang it up and the cork wouldn't fall out. I added beads to some of them to make sort of a little star or a little sparkle on top. And they look really cute. So I will be sending those out in the next couple of weeks to their recipients. So after I completed all of my Christmas knitting, I put a lot of thought into what I wanted to do for the month of December. And I've decided to take part in the hashtag Grinchalong. This is an invitation by the Knitmore Girls to cease and desist all holiday knitting and to do enjoyable, festive holiday things that really make you happy in place of hurried obligation knitting. I decided that instead of using December to knit gifts for others, since I'm very pleased to have that behind me, I would take this month to knit and work with things that I have been given as gifts throughout the year. I've been the very happy recipient of a number of patterns and different products. I thought it would be really fun to start a number of things and just keep working on them throughout the month and to really enjoy that holiday spirit of giving while I'm working on these projects. On Sunday morning following Thanksgiving, I organized a whole bunch of projects and I've cast on a few. Not all have been cast on, but I have cast a few things on, and I'm going to talk a bit about some of these gifts and the generous folks who gave them, and a little bit about the projects that I have begun. First is a gift of some silk hankies I received from Kay Connors. This is 0.6 ounces of silk dyed by Patricia of BZB Fibers, and I am using them to work on a knitting project which combines the silk hankies, which have been stretched out so you can knit with them like yarn. I've never done that before. And yarn as well, and incorporating the two of them into some kind of pattern or design. This is underway, but I'm not sure how it will work out or when it will be completed. So that's kind of an ongoing thing. Another project that I've cast on is the Outlander Cowl, a pattern by Andy Fagan. And this pattern was a gift from the designer. I have decided to use some hand spun to knit this cowl, and I did a lot of experimentation because the hand spun I chose is 6 ounces of Wensleydale in the London Fog colorway, which is like muted blues and browns and grays. It's 390 yards of a 3-ply yarn, and my spinning on this is quite inconsistent. The Wensleydale is also very fuzzy. So some of the patterning that Andy has in the first part of the cowl design was not showing up very well with the yarn that I selected. So I started with the garter band, and now I'm just knitting stockinette in the round. And then I think I will use Andy's pattern idea for this second part of the cowl. I think that will show up a lot better. The knit and purl stitches in this, it comes out beautifully in some of the yarn that she used for her samples, like a nice plush worsted or alpaca. It just was not showing up very well with this Wensleydale. So I'm looking forward to knitting the second part of the pattern and following Andy's design a little more closely. The third gift that I have cast on is a combination of a pattern and the yarn. This was a prize from the U University podcast, and I thank Chris, Dr. Kelly, for this gift. It's the Modica Myths pattern by Rachel Roden and a set of Madeline Tosh tea cakes in the lemon ginger colorway. These mitts are so cute. They have stripes and color work, but all of the colors are, well, they're lemon ginger. They're buttery yellow and nutmeg brown and a little bit of orange and red. They're sort of all in that same color family. Of course, the tea cakes make these mitts look irresistibly cute. But this is a great pattern to use for any scraps of fingering weight or sock yarn that you have, and I think it would be a great way to use up scraps and make something that's very personalized. There are a lot of ends to weave in, though. It's starting to give me a little anxiety, the number of ends that I will need to weave in for these mitts. But so far, I've been able to keep my stitches relatively straight and even, and I think they'll come out very well. I'm about two-thirds done with the first mitt. There are a couple more patterns and some yarn that I plan to knit during the month of December, so I will tell you about those projects when I cast them on. Ever-expanding skill set. In 2014, I have been pursuing a goal of cooking with products from the bulk bins in my local health food store. In November, the ingredient in the spotlight was flour, and I've posted a recipe for pumpkin gnocchi, as I mentioned, on the blog, on the website. This recipe came out really well. I was a little bit nervous about how pumpkin would work in a recipe that typically calls for baked potato. I was a little bit concerned about how easy it would be to replace baked potato with pumpkin puree and how sticky the dough might be, how difficult it might be to work with. But the pumpkin worked up really well and was incredibly flavorful and really delightful in the recipe. I do recommend letting the dough rest in the refrigerator before rolling it out and making the individual gnocchi. That rest time seemed to yield a much lighter and fluffier dumpling than the recipe where I immediately started rolling it out after pulling the dough together. So I guess just like with baking pastry, letting dough rest really can have its benefits. I made my pumpkin gnocchi with pumpkin, all-purpose flour, one egg, some nutmeg, a little bit of salt, And I used leftover cheese that I had for different recipes I made for my Thanksgiving dinner. So I made two batches of this just to try it out and give the recipe a bit of time to work out kinks. In one of the recipes, I put in about 1 ounce of fig chèv or goat cheese. And in the other batch of gnocchi that I made, I put in about 1 ounce of gorgonzola cheese. And they were both delicious, but I had let the fig batch rest in the refrigerator, and I made those the next day, and they actually had a more pleasing consistency than the ones I rolled out right away. In lieu of a sauce, I just put these in a pan with a little bit of leftover gravy, and they were very good that way, very simply dressed. I sprinkled, I think, a little bit of crumbled thyme leaves over the top and a little bit of black pepper. So I hope you give that recipe a try. The winner of the pattern prize for November is for post number 4, who is the Jasper Patch on Ravelry. That is AJ from Quebec. And AJ made several posts, some of them including beautiful photographs of pierogi making. And that is a wonderful tradition. I would love to make pierogies with a group of experienced cooks sometime. And I think just like with gnocchi and any other sort of filled or time intensive preparation, it's nice to have a lot of hands, and they make short work of a daunting task. Congratulations, AJ. Please get in touch with me and let me know what pattern you would like for your prize this month, and I will make sure that gets out to you right away through Ravelry. The final month of the Bulk Bins Cook-Along will be devoted to sugar. I know it's not a very healthy ingredient, but I think around the holidays, it's a good time to think about making sweet things and sharing sweets, maybe giving them as gifts. And I'd love to know about your recipes, your holiday traditions. Do you make cookies? Do you make candy? Do you make other kinds of sweets? Maybe you could post recipes or links to recipes and photos of your very special holiday treats. And I'll be thinking about some recipes to share with you as well. Another thing that you may consider posting in the Ravelry discussion for sugar is any kind of replacements or ingredients that you use instead of sugar. Do you try to offset some of the sugar in your recipes? How do you do that? What do you find is successful? Or what kinds of things do you eat or serve in place of very sugary or sweet things? As always, you're invited to post in the thread on Ravelry for a chance to win a pattern prize. You can also use hashtag BulkBinsCAL if you're posting on Instagram or Twitter. I'd love to see your photos. Gratitude Journal. Gratitude this month is for a second year of participating in an Advent scarf knit along. Last year was my first time participating, and I didn't realize that last year's Advent scarf pattern was a particularly difficult one because there was color work involved and there was quite a lot of knitting for each day. This year, the pattern is quite a bit easier. and less stressful and just as much fun because I'm using some KFI Indulgence yarn, which is a self-striping fingering weight yarn that has a bit of cashmere in it. The color repeats aren't incredibly long, not like Noro or something like that, but the pattern that the designer of this Advent scarf, Trisha Weatherston, has created makes the stripes sort of bend and wiggle in each section. And I chose some very bright, not at all Christmas-like colors to knit this scarf. So every day, a new portion of the pattern comes, and every evening or afternoon is an opportunity to work quietly on that pattern and also to see all of these Advent scarves from all around the world take shape and grow a little bit more every day. So I'm very grateful for the generosity of a knitter like Trisha Weatherston, who is willing to come up with an idea and share it with others and take the time to do all of the charting and careful explanation of directions. And I'm grateful to all of the folks who are knitting along with me and sharing their work so I can enjoy it. Thank you for listening, everyone. Happy December, and I look forward to talking with you again in the next episode.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, flowery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Leaves her down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stones to sand. It's a silly nature thing.
Music for this episode is So Wheat. Music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Crystal Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider joining the Yarns at Yanhu group on Ravelry, liking the show's Facebook page, or leaving a rating or a review on iTunes. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's ever get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a